Maseches Chulin has been dedicated in honor of Leslie Westreich, Elazar Meir ben Harav Yehoshua, a great chavrusa and friend.
The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel ben Yamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Chulin Kuflamana. The Gemara discusses the halacha of Mishtarshi. The Gemara says that even though Mazik Manas Kuna, a Shemachrim Potter, if the Melech is Onas Gernoi, the Chayva Yechayv Laster. The Achroinim in Shulchan Aruch point out, they assume that just like Onas Melech Gernoi is considered Mishtarshi, the halacha would also be that if you sold Manas Kuna, you would also be considered Mishtarshi. I believe that this has big ramifications, legabi the halachas, legabi choshen mishmat. In the olden days, if a person wanted to do a transaction with somebody, he would take money out of his pocket, coins, whatever, big, large coins, and hand them over to the guy, and they would make some kind of transaction. Nowadays, we do a lot of business using the banking system. And I'm gonna try to speak a little bit about how this change may affect the halachas of Choshen Mishpat, and also how our sugya pertains to this question. When a person has an account in a bank, Reb Shlomo Hyman points out that this account in the bank is not a pekudin. It's not something that really belongs to you. You don't actually own anything. What basically happens when you're opening an account in a bank is basically you're lending money to the bank. You lend money to the bank, and then when the bank wants to, they pay you back. When you want them to, they pay you back, and they're basically paying back a loan. So there's a very big question, because there's a Gemara B'Metzia that discusses the halacha of if a Jew lends money to a non-Jew, and then he wants that non-Jew to give that money that he owes to him to somebody else to create some kind of transaction thereby, the Gemara points out that there's an issue that we have to contend with, which is ein shlichus la'akum. A non-Jew cannot be considered an agent working on behalf of a Jew, and therefore, when the non-Jew pays back the Jew by giving the money to somebody else, the Jew cannot necessarily create the transaction that he's trying to create. So there's going to be a very, very serious issue anytime a person goes ahead and writes a check out to somebody, whether or not that would be considered that he actually gave that person money or no, since the bank who's usually a Goyish bank. The Goyish bank is the one actually paying back the loan by giving the money to that other person. Maybe we may run into issues of ein shlichus la'akum, and we can have all kinds of complicated issues can come up because of this. Additionally, many times people damage others in ways which are not so direct nowadays. In other words, let's say I go ahead and I take money out of your bank account. I commit bank fraud. So I took your money, so you'll say I stole money from you. But according to what we just said, it's not really true. When you go ahead and you take money out of somebody else's bank account, you're not really taking their money. You're tricking the guy who borrowed money from them to pay the money to you instead of to him. And then the guy can't collect his loan. So then we'll start discussing issues of mazik shibudi shel chaveiroi and the like. So, and for example, somebody once asked me a question. Let's say you borrow somebody else's Easy Pass and you use it to pay tolls for you. So the question is, what did you do? You stole Easy Pass. I'll give you back the Easy Pass. What did I do wrong? So you caused me a hefsid. Now the Easy Pass is going to take money out of my credit card, whatever it is, and you gained by not having to pay tolls. So according to in our Gemara, we see a concept which is very, very useful in many of these cases, which is that there's something called mishtarshi. Even though if I would have been mazik that item, I would not be chayiv. If I took that manas kuna and I would have destroyed it or eaten it, I wouldn't be chayiv. But if I'm mishtarshi, if I clearly had a money gain because of the fact that I used this manas kuna and the manas kuna had a hefsid thereby, whether or not that's necessary is a big question in Achronim, whether or not Mishtarshi applies even when the other guy did not have a hefsid. But let's assume that you do have to have AFSA, just to keep things simple. This is universally agreed that if one person has AFSA, the other person has a revach, has a gain, because the other person's AFSA, there'll be a din of mishkarshi. And that din would link my gain to your loss, and it would say that my gain was caused because of your loss. So for example, the guy who borrowed the easy pass, who took the guy's easy pass, without permission, goes on the bridge, and then doesn't have to pay his toll, so we would be able to say that since I am gaining by your loss, the halacha would be that I would be chayiv to pay you. So too, if I take money out of your bank account, so I'm gaining money because of your loss, you're right that it's not a direct theft, but it would still be halacha mishnarshi, you would still be chayiv to pay because of that. And so too, if I write a check out to somebody, so whereas you could have argued that there would be an issue of ein shlichus la'akum, but the dina de malchusa may create a situation where I'm really creating that wealth in your account. I'm, because of the fact that I'm allowing that check to go through, would say that I myself actively created that wealth in your account because of my loss, and that would be considered that I was mahana you in a way that could be mechayiv you, and we may not have to get involved in the issues of ein shlichus la'akum. So it's a very useful concept. Now, there's a question, how much can we broaden this concept? In other words, do these two items have to be really, really linked? For example, by the easy pass, you could have argued that what does one thing have to do with the other? He took my easy pass. He caused the easy pass to think that I'm the guy that's going over the bridge. So they go and they charge me. Really, it's him. So he happens to trick them into giving him the money instead of me. So would that be considered linked enough to be able to say that I gained because of your loss or not? So there's one, this thing that we said over from the Achrayim in the beginning of the shir is a very important Mara Makam for this question. I don't know how much this helps, but it could be very useful. The Achrayim are assuming in our halacha that if you sell Matnis Kuna, that would be considered an example of Mishdarshi. It happens to be the Rambam Paskins that it's not Mishdarshi, and the Achrayim are trying to explain why the Rambam says that. But they seem to assume that when I sell Matnis Kuna, that's called Mishdarshi. Now, you could have made the argument as follows. You could have said, when I go and I sell Matnis Kuna, is anything really taking place? You could say, nothing's really happening, because the Matnis Kuna don't belong to me. They belong to the Kohen. Matnis Kuna are the property of Shevet Kuhuna. So when I go ahead and I sell Matnis Kuna, this transaction is an imaginary transaction. It's not really happening. The buyer thinks that he bought something. It doesn't really belong to him. It still belongs to the Kohen. The money that he gave me is not really mine. It really should go back to the buyer, because the whole sale was based on a false premise that I have the right to sell these Matnis Kuna. If the buyer would realize that I don't have the right to sell Matnis Kuna, he never would have bought it from me. So you could have argued that the sale is really a fake sale, and therefore the money that I gained can't really be blamed on the loss of the Matnis Kuna, because the Matnis Kuna were never lost. The money's not really mine, so the whole thing is imaginary. And interestingly, there's a case in Shulchan Aruch about such a thing, where somebody in the Chayshim Mishra discusses that if a person dies and leaves over a piece of land, and the halacha is that Metalta the Yasmi Loi Mishtabdi, the movable items that you left over to you, that a person left over to his children, are not Meshubed to his Balchoy. They're not, the his creditors don't have a lien on movable items, but they do have a lien on real estate. So let's say the guy dies and leaves over one piece of real estate, and he owes money to somebody. And his children go ahead and sell that piece of real estate to a goy, to a non-Jew. Now the non-Jew isn't interested in dealing with these creditors, and he's not gonna pay them. So even though Mazik Shibudi Shachaver might be Potter, the Achrayim say in Shulchan Aruch, the Shach and the Ktzais and the Sivas discuss that there may be a halacha of Mishtarshi. Even though if I would have destroyed this piece of land, I would be Potter, because it's not considered a direct Hezek, because I just took away I destroyed the thing that you have a lien on it. That may not be considered a direct enough Hezek to Mechayiv you because of damages and tort halacha. But when it comes to the question of Mishnarshi, I would be chayiv. Now, in that case also, the money that I'm getting from the guy shouldn't really be my money necessarily, because I'm actually selling something that doesn't really belong to me. It's Meshubet to the Baal Chayiv. The Baal Chayiv has a lien on it. There's actually an Estivus who makes that point and says that that might be why there's no din, why there is a din of Mishnarshi over there, because because I'm not really selling the part of the land which is meshubah to the Baal Chayim. But without getting involved in the complications, I believe that these achroinim, at least by Mazik Manas Kuhuna, are a big raya that the two things don't have to be that closely related. The fact that I'm gaining money and the fact that you're losing money don't have to be that closely related. As long as it's one action that causes these two effects, the same action causes me to gain money and you to lose money, that would be enough, even though they don't really have any relationship. Just like in our Gemara, where you sell Manas Kuhuna and the sale doesn't really take effect, so I'm just basically tricking a guy into giving me money, and I'm also tricking a guy into stealing from the Kohanim. But since it's one action, the sale of the Manas Kuhuna, which accomplished both of these tricks, that seems to be enough in the view of the Achroinim to create a connection which would be Mechayim because of Mishtarashi, and therefore we can say that we can, I guess, broaden this concept of Mishtarashi and Chayshim Mishpat a little bit more.
The Daf Yoimi audio series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the Center for Halacha Consultations, Service, Educational Seminars, or Media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you could email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.